Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. Time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Mrs. LaGreca, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday. It's March 24th. It's 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg with you. And we're here until 6:30 today. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, but the first thing that we will hit, the New York Knicks and their third straight loss. In the Knicks recap brought to you by Jack Pocket. I don't even care that much about the loss. It worries me a little bit. But the way Julius Randle behaved, that's not the way a star behaves. That's not the way a leader behaves. That a kid, Emmanuel Quickley, has to try to settle him down at the end of the first half, and then he gets in the face of Quickley, and then you see that Quickley was right because Josh Hart came right over and put his arm around Quickley as if to say, Lee Malone, he's out of his mind. You can't lose your mind like that. And Don, Peter, if it was an isolated incident, I wouldn't even bring it up. This guy cannot control his emotions. He's not a star like that. He's just not. Stars don't do that. Role players do that. Draymond Green does that. You ever see Seth Curry do it? You see Trey Thompson do it? You see LeBron do it? You're going to get teed up in a game that you really need to win? That's a bad look for Randle. That, as great as he has been this year, 11 technicals, he cannot control himself, and a lot of the blame has to go to Tom Thibodeau because he has not stopped it.
You guys know I've been a Randle defender, you know, and I do think he gets a hard time, and everyone's sort of like, why don't we have another star? Why are we stuck with this guy? And it makes me feel for him. But I'm sorry. Michael makes a great point. That's just not what the big dogs do. They pick their moments. Don, you would agree. In almost every sport, the big-time players, there's some that are just completely quiet and never explode like that. But the ones that do, they pick their spots. It's meaningful. It actually is founded. He just sort of lets go at the end of every game.
And this is also attached to how they've been playing as of late. If you're going to sit here as a Knicks fan, call the show, complain that we're not excited about your team, start talking about how they can beat the Celtics. You want the Celtics. It's about matchups. You could beat the Celtics. Beat them twice during the regular season. If the Knicks are making any kind of run, everything's got to fall into place. And you can't have a player constantly complaining to the officials. You think you're going to get a call? You think you're going to get a call going up against a big-time team like the Celtics or a big-time team like the Bucks? If you're complaining and moaning and groaning after every foul, you got to be mind your P's and Q's if you're going to make upsets in the postseason and knock off these big dogs. That's not the way to conduct yourself, and that's not the way to get calls.
He's a baby. I mean, he's a baby. Now, he's also arguing with an official. The guy's name is Leon Wood. For those that don't know, check out Bobby Knight's gold medal Olympic winning team. Leon Wood was a player on it. Leon Wood knows what players go through. Leon Wood was an NBA player who's become a very good longtime official. He gave him a lot of leash, and the guy would not stop. Do you really think that Leon Wood is going to change his call at that point? Hey, if you watch the play, he might have had a legitimate point. But you're doing that at the end of the first half, and your team was coming back. And for what? You're not in it for your team. You can't control your emotions. That one play yesterday, on top of the other plays that he does all the time, makes me think if you could make a deal for this guy next year, where you deal him at the top of his skills, yeah, when he's coming off a really good season, then do it. You're not going to win with a guy like that. That's not a way to win a championship. Is he going to lose his mind in a big game in the postseason? Not smart.
And where's Thibodeau? You're right. Where
Why does it have to be a kid named Quickly doing it?
Because let's face it, all right? We think that Thibodeau is a fantastic coach, but he doesn't have any rings jingling and jangling. He had nice seasons in Chicago and in Minnesota, but part of what's supposed to make him great, he's a good defensive coach. The team hasn't played a lick of defense in 2 weeks, and he's supposed to be a calming influence, a veteran, a guy that should really control something like this. And now, I don't know if you can. This is probably something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. And Thibodeau knows better than anybody, if this team's going to do anything, they're going to need Randle. I'm disappointed in Randle. I'm disappointed in Coach.
When you're raising kids, and Don and I are finding this out, you can't let them do something. You can't let them do it. And then after they've done it for a long time, say, oh, you can't do that anymore. This is obviously something that Thibodeau can't stop this guy from doing. That's a bad job by the entire coaching staff. Because at that point, the half was over. The team was going into the runway to go to the locker room. They could have come right out on the court and stopped them. Stop it right now. Instead, they left it to Emmanuel Quickly, who's in his third year in the league. And then Randle gets mad at Quickly.
Yeah.
It was an awful look. Do we have that? Mike Breen does a game in a very tempered manner. He only says something with real teeth to it when he thinks it really, really matters. Listen to what Mike Breen said as this was going on MSG last night.
That won't go. Randle has it. And Randle gets knocked and falls to the ground. As the first half comes to an end, Randle has to stop yelling at the officials. He's going to get a technical. His teammates trying to keep him away.
Leon Wu is a former player, NBA player.
And there's a technical foul.
It hurt enough for Randle.
It's become nonstop recently. Randle getting a man at Quickly, but Quickly's right. Randle has to stop.
He does.
Yeah.
It's not Michael, Don, and Peter jumping on a guy. The Knicks have had a really fun season to follow. We all want them to win. But that's not going to be the end game when your star player can't control himself. Literally, he can't control himself.
And it was really annoying that he like tried to bully Quickly. At the end, he'd like had enough and kind of got in his face. And by the way, props to Quickly for A, being a great teammate, and B, not backing down to his teammate who's like a foot taller than him. But that's not what you want.
Guys, this is all tied in to what is this team going to be? All right, we're down to single-digit games left. Bye-bye to the four seed. That's gone. You've let Miami back in the door, and even the Nets to a certain extent, and they're lucky that the Nets are in free fall. Can you imagine where the Knicks would be if the Nets didn't break up?
Maybe
the Knicks would be desperately hanging on to the sixth spot.
Right, so they caught a huge break there. So this is supposed to be when your best is coming out, and we thought that was the case when they beat the Nuggets. It's like, now this is something. It's late March now. We're getting down to single-digit games. That's a huge win against a really good basketball team. And this is how you follow it up? And I know they've got excuses, but still there's enough players. We said it before the game last night. There is enough players on this team to beat the Orlando Magic. I don't care that it's the second of back-to-backs. I don't care that Brunson's not in the game. And meltdowns like that are reasons why you worry about everything falling into place for this team. Some special things can happen here, and they have not shown a really good side just at the time of the season where they should be flexing their muscles a little bit and solidifying position instead of falling.
Now, let's take away the whole Randle situation, right? And let's take a look at how they played the game. Once again, they allow a team that doesn't do something well to do it well. The Magic, good young team. They're going to be something to be reckoned with. Banchero is a really good player. He's big, and he moves like he's small. That's a really, really underrated talent. Really handles the basketball well, gets to the basket well. But they don't shoot 3 points well. They don't. They're not a good three-point shooting team. Last night they were. Once again, 7 of 8 in the fourth quarter against the Knicks defense. Either the Knicks are exhausted or they've stopped covering the three. Miami is not a good offensive team. They put up 127 against them. And the Magic, not a great three-point shooting team. They owned the three-point shot yesterday. Owned it. It's disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful the way they played. They've now lost three in a row. And you know what? The game that they're going to play Monday against the Rockets is awfully, awfully big.
Well, if it's exhaustion, then that excuse goes out the door. They got 3 days off. Off today, off tomorrow, off Sunday, Monday, a very winnable game. So if it's just, hey, we're a little beat up, playing games every other day, had to play the second of back-to-backs. What was that, three games in four nights? Okay, 3 days off, awful team in your building on Monday, beat them by 20, and then get ready for what is going to be a colossally big game against Miami on Wednesday.
Mike Vaccaro, he's really a great columnist and a good friend from the New York Post. He really tore into the Knicks in the paper today. Here's a quote. For a team that's been defined by urgency all season, a team that has been mostly resistant to extended slumps because the default position is to outwork their problems and to tend to the daily details of the long season, there was a troubling lack of passion and energy. Remember when the Knicks were 9-0? They won the nine straight games? Do you know that the nine games following the nine-game winning streak, you know what their record is? 3-6.
Yeah.
They completely frittered it all away. And now they're holding on for dear life for the fifth spot. If we had a caller yesterday who really has to check himself, that he likes their matchup better against the Celtics than he does against the Cavaliers. They might lose in five games to the Celtics. They have a chance to beat the Cavaliers. And the Cavaliers almost got waxed yesterday by the Nets, and the Nets just imploded in the last minute and a half of the game. That's a game they should have won. And if the Nets won that game, then the Knicks would really be sweating. Really be sweating. Because you'd have the Nets and the Heat right on your tails. The Knicks not only are in danger of losing the number five spot in the Eastern Conference, they are in danger of dropping into the play-in. I mean, what a dose of cold water that would pour on this whole season if that's what happened. Brutal. They shouldn't be playing this way. And again, it comes down to Randle at the end of the second quarter doing what he did. Now, they ended up trailing by 19 in the third quarter, and they tied it up. And they still couldn't hold on against a team that's playing out the string.
But
people get up for the Knicks. People get up because there's a lot of Knicks fans at Amway Arena yesterday. So I'm sure that kept the Magic on their toes. And the Magic players, Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's son, Banchero, they all played well. The Wagner brothers, they all played really well. Carter and the Knicks just don't have – they don't have – the dedication to defense that they had when they were rolling.
But, you know, you make a good point, Michael. Teams are getting up to play the Knicks because even though the Knicks haven't won, it's still one of the flagship teams of the NBA. It's New York, and we saw it. We saw it Orlando last night. We saw it against Minnesota the other night. We saw it against Charlotte last week. You're giving teams a reason to want to play here at the end of the season. Let's beat the Knicks. Let's hurt the Knicks. People are paying attention to what this team is doing. So they're more engaged. You've got to be up for these teams.
Really distressing. I watched every minute of the Heat and the Magic. And there's troubling signs there. There really are. And I was at the game for the Nuggets, and it was like they came back from the West Coast swing. They had a lot of time off before the Nuggets. They came out. They played great against the Nuggets. They win that game. And then this happens. I don't get it. They lose to an undermanned Minnesota team. Then they lose to the Heat. And now they lose to a team that they shouldn't be losing to, the Orlando Magic. Not good.
But you know what? That's almost easy, Michael, right? The really good team. Like, nobody would kill them if they lost to the Nuggets. Those are the easy games to get up for. But in the grind of a season, I'm sorry, you got to find a way to get up for the Orlando Magic.
You got to find a way to get up for the T-Wolves. I don't want to jump on this one guy, guys, but the most inconsistent player on the Knicks, I'm sorry, is R.J. Barrett. So with Brunson out yesterday, they needed Barrett to step up. He was awful.
What did he shoot? Do you know what his percentage was?
I think he was like 3-for-12, something like that. He had 12 points. I mean, you got to be great. You got to be great.
The only – and here's the biggest downer. The only guy who I feel like brings you the same game every night he plays is Brunson, and he's not playing. I mean, Robinson brings you the same too, but he's not an offensive threat really for this team.
One shot yesterday.
Exactly. Thank you. So Brunson's the one who really seems to be your consistent guy, and now he's not playing consistently.
really, it's distressing to see what has been a really great season slipping away. I'm not going to say it will slip away, but it's slipping away. Their positioning in the playoffs is slipping away. And if they drop out of the six spots, they should be embarrassed and ashamed of themselves.
But even, Michael, if they find a way to hold on to the five, haven't you lost a little confidence on what they can do with that?
They might have lost some confidence.
You know, there was this, you know, this feeling like, all right, maybe we can move up to four. Well, that's now gone. Now we're back to having that conversation, avoid the play and don't drop to six. But even if they do manage to navigate through these last, what, seven games to hold on to the five seed, they're going to have to really take advantage of this time to kind of change that, get their confidence back, our confidence back. How are they going to play against the Cavaliers? Are they going to be able to make it out of the first round? Because what are we talking about, Michael, if it's another first-round exit? What are we talking about? I thought we're supposed to be building towards something here, not same old Knicks, attractive for free agents to want to come and play here. All you're doing is revisiting 2 years ago when everybody was high on the Knicks and they lost to Atlanta. How is it any different than that? And how do they follow that up with a lousy season in which they missed the playoffs? This is supposed to be growing towards getting into the second round. Threatening. It's been a decade.
And you really have to start examining why are they all of a sudden so fatigued. In the first quarter, in the first half yesterday, they shot 32%. That's the worst percentage in a first half this season. And they only scored 45 points. It's tied for the third fewest in half this season. And then now 1-3 in those games. They didn't come to play. Were they that exhausted because it was back-to-back? Really? Oh.
But it's a gift back-to-back. It's against a lousy basketball team, and half the people in the building are rooting for you.
And it's essentially you can take a bus across to Orlando from Miami. That's the Knicks recap brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $112 million. Mega Millions is $302 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Now, before we get to your phone calls and the lines, they be jammed. It's time for Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. A couple of games. We've got the Islanders and the Blue Jackets tonight. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock start, 6:30 right here on 98.7. Puck drops at 7. And then the Devils at the Sabres, also a 7 o'clock start. The Nets and the Knicks, they're off. And the Rangers coming off a win yesterday in Carolina, they are off as well. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terrence in Brooklyn. Start off, Terrence.
Big T.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Or should I say good afternoon?
That's right.
It's morning somewhere.
Watch the game. Yeah, well, I watched the game last night. I mean, what is Thibodeau's role here? Thibodeau has got to put a stop to all this. We've gone through the hills and valleys of this season, and they've had a pretty good season. But I really believe that these following games, what is it, 7 games left? These games are critical. They have to secure the 5 seed. Have to secure it.
I wonder, Terrence, and again, I'm not quite sure, the power in the NBA belongs to the players. I mean, we saw it with the Nets. Star players got coaches fired, got coaches hired. I mean, the dynamic duo of Durant and Kyrie got Atkinson fired and then got Nash fired. So can a coach really discipline a star player? What's he going to do, stop? I mean, I would hope that Tom Thibodeau, Don, at some point has told Randall, you got to control yourself.
But Thibodeau's smart enough to know that he can probably go to some of the veterans in that room. I mean, Quickley's not even a veteran, and publicly on the court tried to stop Randall. So what does Steve Young always say? The locker room's got to police itself, but Thibodeau can encourage some of the guys to say, hey, listen, talk to your teammate here. Get him on the same page with us. So even though if it's a player's league, coaches can still encourage the players to use their power because he's got teammates that disagree with him.
I think the only guy that there's two people he would listen to on that team, I believe. Brunson and Hart. That's it. Everybody else I would think that Julius Randle would think is beneath him.
But if the whole
I think he
team...
was insulted yesterday that Emmanuel Quickley, a kid, was telling him essentially to grow up. That's why he reacted the way he did.
Well, and by the way, you're also making up that he told him to grow up. It could have been literally as simple as, hey, dude, we got to calm down. We can't blow this thing right now.
No. I think that Randle told Emmanuel Quickley you might be – Randle told Emmanuel Quickley to back off.
Right.
Like, you don't tell me what to do. And Quickley was probably telling him, you can't do this.
Right. But, that's all I imagine he was saying.
But that's why the rest of the teammates have to take Quickley's side. He
and
can ignore he can ignore whoever he wants, listen to whoever he wants, but if the entire team is going to confront him and tell him this behavior is not going to work for us,
I don't think Randall's a bad guy.
This is
what the problem is for me. I don't think he can control himself.
No.
He knows it's wrong. He can't control himself. That's a bad thing. That's why you have to consider if you want to take that next step, you might have to get rid of him. Because if he can't control himself in a game in Orlando on March 22nd, he's not going to be able to control himself in a second-round playoff series. He's just not. How did he do against the Hawks? Coming off a great year. How did he do? He didn't do well, did he?
Nope.
I don't want to be that negative guy. But that I was sitting there, I was so ticked off.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you being a little over the top? Like, it is bad, and it is a problem, and it really does frustrate me. The Thibodeau guys, if he's as great a coach as we constantly say he is, and Don, to your point, without the rings jingling and jangling, he's just supposed to be that guy. I do put a lot of this on him, too. But, like, I just wonder, Michael, whether we're going too far, given that we're about, what, a week and a half removed from saying people don't appreciate how great this guy is as a player?
He is a great player, but there's other things that go with being a leader. If he's going to be one of the top players on the team, he can't act. Let's listen to what Thibodeau said after the game. Here's the coach.
There's emotion involved, so you want the emotion to get out of it, and then sometimes when you talk, it clears the air. So that's good, but you also don't want you allow for idiosyncrasies as long as it doesn't get in the way of winning. Nothing can get in the way of winning. The team always has to come first, and so everyone's responsible for that.
But it got in the way of winning last night. And also the Knicks are enablers. I'm sorry. They didn't make him available after the game. Let him stand up and face the music.
Cowards. Cowards.
Not available after the game. The Garden does that a lot. They don't make their goalies available after bad games. Make people answer questions. The biggest stars in the game are there in the worst times. Worst losses, Derek Jeter's there. He blew the seventh game of the World Series in 2001. Mariano stood in front of his locker for an hour answering the same question over and over again. Dennis Eckersley, when he gave up the home run to Kirk Gibson, he answered every single question. Bob Stanley, after Game 6 at Shea Stadium in 1986, and Calvin Schiraldi, they sat in front of their locker, they answered every question. These are legacy-defining games, and they answered the questions. And Julius Randle couldn't answer questions after yesterday's game? The Garden should be ashamed of itself.
I think there is a bit of a difference, and I'm going to tell you coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My Randle point, Michael, for my tease, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
You made a very good point about PR directors and teams protecting players after bad games. But this goes beyond a bad game. Are they restricting him from the media after a moment like that because they're afraid he'll make it worse? I mean, this is a guy that's given the finger to the fans. If he does actually have a problem with managing his emotions, did they protect him just because he had a bad moment and they didn't want him exposed to the media? Or are they doing themselves a favor or him a favor by not putting him in a situation where he can make matters worse?
Okay, so let me answer that with this. What's the reasoning behind Shesterkin blowing off the media constantly?
Well, because I believe that these PR, and I can't answer specifically to the Rangers. I just know that they didn't make Shesterkin available, and there was a game where Halak said he didn't want to talk to the media, and they go, okay. I think a lot of PR directors feel like they do a good job when they protect the players, and player doesn't want to talk to the media, or they don't want to expose him after a bad game. They feel like they're doing a favor. I'm not defending that. I think it's wrong. I think a player should be held accountable at the end of the game. It shouldn't be the same four or five people talking. You had a bad game, talk to the media. But I'm wondering, was this strategic in the sense of...
I'm sure it was.
Listen, and wouldn't that be smart to do that then? Why make matters worse where he'll say something or do something to make it worse?
Isn't that a window into Randall then?
That's what I'm trying to say, is that if it's to that point where we're afraid him talking to the media after an emotional game could escalate the situation, and this is not a kid, and he's been here a while, would send up a red flag to me that this might be something that is best just parting ways with him.
It's so interesting, too. In baseball, it never happens. And I think that the people that run baseball teams are afraid of the media, especially the newspaper media. They bend over backwards. I think in hockey and basketball, they couldn't care less. They just couldn't care less. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, not cover the game? That's pretty much their way. Baseball has always been beholden to the print media. So when a player has a bad game, he talks. He talks, and the writers are aggressive enough to demand that he talks. So Randall not talking yesterday, it's an awful look. And if what Don is saying is true, that it's probably to protect himself, then he has no control over his emotions. Let's listen to Alan Hahn. This is Alan Hahn on the Randall Tech.
Randall should be more concerned not about the look. Everybody's like, it looks bad, it looks bad. Forget it. He's a passionate guy. He gets mad. I'd rather that than a guy that isn't passionate. But what you got to worry about is that your teammates saw that now twice in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, and they're now wondering, I don't know if I could trust you, man. I don't know if I could trust you is the worst thing to ever hear from a teammate. The worst thing you could hear from a teammate.
Well said. And you could hear Alan with Bart Scott right before our show every Monday through Friday from noon to 3.
And the reason we're picking this apart, guys, is if we're just happy with the making the playoffs, then it's not a big deal. But if you really want to see this team take the next step, win a round, threaten to go to the conference final, like some of this fan base thinks they're capable of doing, these are the things that can't happen. Then you're not good enough. You're not ready to do it.
Let's go to Anthony in the car. Anthony.
How you doing, fellas?
Good. What's up?
Listen, I've been listening to the show forever, and I don't call in that much because usually I'm driving, but I had to call in only because I've been a proponent of this guy for such a long time. Like, I listen, the numbers that he puts up are tremendous. I've been a teacher for 20 years. I played Division II college basketball. I've coached basketball on the high school level, and I know it's not the same. But at some point, Thibodeau has to say to him, tell me, talk to me. Don't yell at the ref. Don't yell at this. Don't yell at it. Let me fight for you. And then aside from that, with the whole infighting with the teammates, I mean, Alan's right. Michael, I've been agreeing with you ever since you got on today with all the things you're saying. Barrett has to be better. You know, all of these things that are going on, and it's getting me to the point, and I've been watching the Knicks. I'm 50 years old. I've been watching them forever. I've been into basketball since I was 8 years old. And it's getting me closer and closer to the point where I'm agreeing with you guys. Maybe it's best if we just get rid of this guy. And I don't want to say that, but yeah, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I don't know, Anthony, if he's the guy that's going to be on this team when they get to a championship level, if they do. And when you say get rid of him, I recoil a little bit. I'm not getting rid of him for nothing. He's a good player. But is he a winning player? Is he the type of player that can control his emotions? I don't know. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big part of this. You have to control your emotions. If they weren't in a game where, again, these are not must wins, but they're pretty damn important, right? After what he did at the end of the first half, Thibodeau said, you know what? He should have said, take a seat. You're not playing the rest of the game. That, because the one thing that affects players more than fines is not playing, because that is sacrosanct to them. If you say this is a direct result of you unable to control yourself, they'll stop. They'll stop. And I think that with Draymond Green, I think there's a method to his madness.
Agree.
I don't think there's a method to Julius's madness. I think it's just madness. Because Draymond's getting texts to shift focus, to shift momentum, and I think he's out of control a lot too. And I'm sure Steve Kerr can't stop him, but that wasn't what Randle was doing yesterday. Because they were behind by a lot in the second quarter. They made a run toward the end. It was a good look that they were going to be back in the game. And then he completely lost his mind. And he might have been right. It might have been a bad call. Can't lose your mind. End of the second quarter? Is it that big of a deal?
That's not his role. Like Draymond Green, that could be his role. Randle's too important to this team to have that be his role.
You know, yes, is showing it right now. He went over to Leon Wood and quickly stepped between him, and he shoved quickly aside and quickly standing there and trying to move him away, and then he gets teed up, and then Randle gets mad at quickly, leave me alone, and gets right in his face. That's his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Let's go to Raul in Harrisburg.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's up, man?
Good. Hey, listen, you know, I think this guy, the Knicks go to the playoffs and they get bumped out again. It's going to be the same old Knicks, but it's going to be because of this guy. The coach got to talk to this guy. You know, I don't know if you agree with me or not. They got to sit him down so he can learn, you know what I mean? Because that's what you got to do to players like this, because it's going to hurt future free agents. You know what I mean? The Knicks already got that problem. What do you say? You know, it's
Yeah, but yeah, I hear what you're saying, and maybe yesterday would have been the time to do it, but now right. They need every single game. And well, I lean toward Peter in this one where, you know, Raul just said, if they lose in the playoffs, it's this guy's fault. They are where they are in the playoffs because of this guy, because he's been so great. But he's not a perfect player. That's why I've always said over and over, the guy who called in yesterday, there's not much difference between Randle and Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, there is. He's not the number one player on a title-contending team. He's just not. I think he's number three. I think Jalen Brunson is two, and then you need that stud at the top. R.J. Barrett should be in that three. He's not. R.J. Barrett might be fifth on this team. He's not even in the top three. He might be fifth. He laid another egg last night. I don't like it.
Don,
are you okay?
Bit.
I know you had a 7 a.m. flight today.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at Twitter, and you mocked me.
I didn't mock you. I said you were meditating.
Sure looked like I was just resting my eyes. I was not meditating. I'm not a meditation type of guy.
When are you talking about, Michael?
It was during our meeting.
During our meeting.
I was worried.
Worried for what?
You just seemed very out of it.
He was just recharging.
I'm tired. Called the game.
Great job, as always.
I had a 5 a.m. wake-up call to get on my 7 a.m. flight, and I've been nonstop since I got home.
Oh.
Had a doctor's appointment, got the dealing with the kids, so I didn't get any kind of, like, relaxation time other than, you know, dozing off on the car ride home.
And during the meeting.
Yeah. Well, and listen, I think that represented what I thought of the meeting.
See, now we're done. Now we're getting to what I'm trying to say, and I feel you.
Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mike. What's up?
So part of my call is twofold, right? So I completely understand, like, after watching Randle the last couple of games and his his lack of self-control and his immaturity flares up. Like, everyone's natural reaction is to say, like, let's just, you know, ultimately I think it'd be best if we part ways. And part of me agrees. But at the same time, it's like, if you ship him, the amount of production that we would lose.
Yep.
And the fact that we haven't been able to get anyone in here that even somewhat resembles a star, you know, to ship away a productive guy who ultimately is a bit of a head case when you can't replace that productivity is tough. So I'm kind of torn with that. And a big thing you see with Randall is he lets that behavior go on because he thinks he's better than he is. And, you know, a lot of guys in this league will throw tantrums like that. You know, whether rightfully so or not. And sometimes they're able to get away with it because of their status in the league and, you know, refs or coaches don't, you know, hold them accountable or whatever the case may be. And I think Randall is part of it is he thinks he's better than he is. And frankly, he's a nice player, but he's nowhere near that level where he should be thinking that he can get away with this type of stuff. And then on top of it, getting into his teammate's face, a guy like Quickly, who's ultimately it looks like he's one of the best teammates a guy can have, that he's joyous on the court. He's, you know, he's always got a smile on his face. You know, what do I know? But at the end of the day, if you have an attitude like Randall, and then you're getting into the face of a guy like Quickly, it's just really bad look.
You bring up really good points because LeBron complains about every call.
But he's LeBron.
Earn that status. And also, you have to know where to draw the line. Leon Wood gave this guy a lot of leash yesterday. He would not stop.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to the phones, but before we do, Peter laid a really heavy tease on us. So what's going on?
Well, you know how the caller said the thing about Randall, the reason he acts out the way he does is because he thinks he's better than he is?
Right.
The reason is he's not as good as he thinks he is precisely because of this behavior. In other words, his overconfidence is really his biggest flaw. It's not just his overconfidence in yelling at the refs when he doesn't have the clout to do that. It's also the overconfidence, guys, that leads to him Randall handling and ruining the ends of games for his team. If he could accept who he was,
right,
I think he could push himself to a higher level and maybe get to be that guy who could argue for those calls. But he's so wrapped up in what he should be because he's reading his stat line. He's acting like a superstar that he's not at the level of. It's a cycle.
He's a lunch pail player, and he should be proud of that. He has played every game this year in an era of load management where players are soft and don't want to push themselves. He is a stud. But what he pulled at the end of the second quarter, he's got 11 technicals on the season, only one fewer than last year when he would melt down all the time. He's not in control of his emotions. And what Peter's saying is right, too. He really does believe he's on the level of a LeBron or an Anthony Davis, and he's not at that level. He's at the next level. That's why the Knicks still need a star.
What's the phrase? You got to stay within yourself. That's perfect for Julius Randle. Stay within yourself. Be who you are as a player. Fit into the role that you have on this team, and they'll be a much better team. But if you start thinking you're a superstar, that you deserve calls – now you're not staying within yourself, and it's hurting the team, guys. It'd be one thing if it was just isolated incidents here and there. I've been saying it for the last couple of years, Michael. It seems like every time he's fouled, he takes exception to the call.
Every time.
Now, LeBron can do that.
Even when you look at the replay, and he's clearly been called the right way. He just never thinks he commits a foul, ever.
So you really think you're going to win big playoff games, especially against the big three? When you're going to need calls, you're going to need breaks, and you conduct yourself that way? Who do you think is going to get the call, Michael? The Knicks or the Celtics in a big spot? It's probably going to be the Celtics. Right. And then on top of that, if Randall's going to act like that, you think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt? No.
Let's go to Connor in North Babylon. Connor.
Hi, Michael, Don, Peter. I just want to preface this by saying I'm a huge fan and I'm very nervous. This is the first time I've ever called into the show.
Please don't be nervous. What do you got?
Just wanted to address you guys first. You know, consider all you guys a big part of my day every day, listening to you guys a lot. Lost my dad to brain cancer when I was 14. And just want you to know, Michael, that, you know, that 2009 World Series, you being a part of that, it really means a lot to me. I just want you to know that.
Sorry you lost your dad.
And just about the Knicks situation last night, I mean, just quickly, you know, being the guy that he is, like the other caller said, I just think Randall was completely out of line for that. And on top of that, I mean, to bounce off of what Peter said before, he just thinks he's way better than he is. And, I mean, you see it on a night-to-night basis. I mean, there's multiple examples on every single night, it seems like. Like, time in and time out of the timeouts, he's separated from the team for whatever reason. It just seems like he doesn't even enjoy really getting along with his teammates, you know? I just don't think he really...
You know, you bring up a great point, because the technical, Connor, it was dumb, okay? But the subsequent action with Quickly is what really struck me. If he'd gotten teched up there, okay, he lost his temper again. But the way he treated Quickly, who was trying to protect him from himself, mm-hmm. was a bad look, man. Just a really awful look.
It never looks good in life, and I know I certainly have suffered from this at times. Don does maybe every 3 or 4 weeks. It never looks good to look completely out of control, and he looked completely out of control. And then when you get to the point, like, how many times in your career should you be allowed to get the, you act like a lunatic, your teammates intervene, and then you look like a lunatic dealing with them? How many times are you allowed to do that? Because it's happened to Julius twice in the last 2 weeks, where teammates have tried to make it better, and then he gets mad at them. That should be a very rare, if ever, occurrence.
And what that is a signal of, Peter, is that he loses his mind.
Right, out of control.
I've talked to people that are around the Knicks. He's a good guy.
I'm sure.
He's a good guy. He's a great dad. The whole deal. But he just loses his mind. You don't react to Quickly wasn't doing anything that warranted that sort of rebuttal from Randall. And I wonder if they had to patch it up. They closed the room yesterday for 40 minutes after the game. So it was addressed for sure. Players could not have liked that. And see, Josh Hart, who's a big-time leader, he was right there with Quickly, put his arm around Quickly as if to say, leave it alone, he's out of his mind.
See,
that's not good.
That's the question you have to ask. Is this a guy that kind of just lost it and just did not want to be calmed down?
Right. That's what it was.
Or who are you to try to calm me down?
Right. I'm Julius Randle.
See, the latter is much worse to me, because now what you're doing is you're talking down the players. You're talking down the teammates. Like, look, I'm a star. Who are you? You're a kid. Get out of my face. That I can't tolerate. If he legitimately lost it and he wants to see it through or whatever – That's still troubling, but at least it's not a bad teammate. It's just a guy that needs to kind of calm himself down. But if he acted that way towards Quickly, because he's like, well, you're not even my stratosphere. Who are you to talk to me? That's not good either.
All right. Anthony Volpe had a home run today. What's the deal? What's going to happen at shortstop?
What's the deal with Anthony Volpe?
See?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.